Hello and welcome to Pedagogzilla, the pedagogic podcast with the pop culture core on tour. I'm Mike Collins, senior learning designer at the Open University and imposter syndrome incarnate and man who's just ruined a booth with lots of wires and microphones. And I am joined by...
Eleanor Moore, learning designer.
And Mark Williams.
And we're all at the Open University Library for the LDS Link event. And in this mini-series, we're going to be taking the opportunity to ask attendees of the event about the books they've learned from and how we learn from books more broadly. Okay, so before we get into the meat and potatoes of it, if you could forget one book, wipe it from your mind and read it again for the first time, what would it be? Eleanor?
All the Light You Cannot See.
Oh, wow, that was so quick. That was instant.
Yeah.
What, so tell us more.
It's a cracking story. You learn so much about history through it as well. It's a page turner that you just can't put down. It makes you laugh, it makes you cry. I won't give anything away about the ending, but it's a book that I just wish I still had to read with fresh eyes.
Oh, that's delightful. And Mark, how about yourself?
Do you know, I was thinking about this the other day, actually, and I think it depends on where you are in your history, doesn't it? So the younger me would probably like to read George's Marvelous Medicine by Roald Dahl again, because I absolutely love that and the images that conjured up. But I think the older me would probably like to read Gene Reese's Wide Sargasso Sea again.
I've not heard of this book either.
It was a revelation to me when I was studying. So it comes from Jane Eyre. So, you know, the mad woman in the attic in Jane Eyre, Bronte's Jane Eyre. And Jean Rhys wrote that character, gave that character a story because she felt that Bertha Mason was, and of course she was, a marginalised character that was just a literary device for Jane Eyre's kind of rage, and became this monstrous character. And she was able to be a monstrous character and dehumanised because of her ethnicity. So Jean Rhys said, no, I'm going to give her a backstory. I'm going to write her life because she was a marginalised character.
So cool.
And it was a wonderful thing for an author to be able to do. And I kind of didn't know you could do that. And I thought, what a wonderful way of responding to literature. So, yeah, I think I would read that again.
That's a really good answer.
It's
as
on
well.
My list now.
Yeah, I was going to say, from our team's EDIA lead as well. So... we're going to be talking about the best things you've ever learned from books. So, Eleanor, what is the best thing that you have ever learned from a book?
Gosh, that is a really hard question. I was lucky enough to do an MA in creative writing a few years ago online, and I read about 40 books that I would never, ever have read if I hadn't have done that course. And so many, I can't remember all of the different titles now, they've kind of merged into one, but I learnt that the best writing speaks to anybody, to all humans, and at the end of the day, we're all experiencing the same sort of stuff. And if a writer can write something that speaks to the audience, then that is just so powerful.
What was it about them? Was it the breadth? Was it the quality? What was it about them that sort of helped you learn this thing? This really kind of important thing.
It's making a situation that I could never ever dream of being in speak to me. So taking Salman Rushdie, for example, is talking about themes that have absolutely nothing to do with my life or my setting where I live, but I can identify with the characters that are going through that because of the beauty of the writing. The prose is so magical that you get drawn in, you identify with characters that are completely different to you in every shape and form. And it's that human quality that you connect with.
I really love that. A slight tangential link, but I found the same thing about Welcome to Wrexham. I always find that basically a good storyteller can make anything captivating and can make any situation and character captivating. And I really found that watching Welcome to Wrexham, because I have literally no interest in small town Welsh football or football as a whole. And then by the end of it, I am just on the edge of my seat. I'm very invested in the people in the town.
Yeah.
And I'm really I'm following the team to see what happens next. I'm absolutely loving it. So I really get that. I mean, Mark, what about yourself?
So I'm just listening to this conversation is really fascinating to me, because we're starting to talk about storytelling and the role of storytelling in education to bring stories in. So actually to get learners to bring in their past experiences and share them with others so they can learn about each other and personalise their learning. So I think this is a brilliant conversation to have. I think for me, and there's loads of books, aren't there, that you kind of learn from. I was a creative student. I did my MA in fine art, and I became totally fascinated with Francis Bacon. I love Francis Bacon, so I would read anything I could about Bacon's, you know, oeuvre, why he was creating his work. And I became absolutely fascinated by why he would unmake the human body. So he didn't make it, he would unmake it. So it became like these splattered forms across the canvas, totally, you know, dematerializing. And I kind of really wanted to know why he did that. And he did that for so many different reasons. So I kind of learned that maybe unmaking something tells us more about a human's character than making something.
Wow, that's deep.
Francis Bacon believed that if you capture somebody completely in a photographic way, you murder them because you deny them their potential to be anything other than you've created in this photographic way. You'll always see that person in that photographic way, and you'll summarize their character, and you'll say this person is this way. But of course, human beings are never one way.
That's really interesting and also dark. Yeah. Are you getting the whole like splatter person murder? Are you picking up all these keywords as well? Cool. So Mark, when did you learn to do murders?
So with these
books specifically on Bacon, what was it about them that helped you kind of realize this? Was there a way that they did it, or did it sort of help you inside his mind?
So you basically, when you stand in front of a Bacon painting, it is like a murder, but you have to work out what's going on. So your instances of why are there traces of like these blood splatters? Where's the person gone, or why are they no longer here? You know, and you kind of have to think, well, what's Bacon alluding to here? Why is this happening? So you are in this role of this investigator trying to work things out. And I think we rely on books sometimes. Books lead us into working out why something has happened. And what they do is they enable you to build up this archival map, or this map process of how to work something out. And I think with contemporary art, we're always put in that position where we have to work out what's going on. So a book that can help you get to that stage of being able to ask the appropriate questions.
It gives you that fundamental equipment you need to actually engage with the vision. I love it. So I guess this is a really good point then to turn the question back to both of you and say, what does this tell us about learning from books more broadly? What can we learn about learning from books?
I think that if you try to push yourself out of your comfort zone with books, then you learn so much more. I mean, what Mark's just described is something that has opened my mind to something that I've, sort of stuff that I've never ever encountered before. So I'm going to put that on my list too. Despite the blood and the gore, you know.
I feel like I should curate a reading list by the end of this, maybe.
It would be great to come back and have a discussion about it. I'd love to do that.
Mark, any reflections from your perspective? Obviously, sort of transporting you to a new place, a new understanding, decontextualizing, taking you out of yourself. What are your thoughts on what books can do to help us learn?
I kind of thought, you know, we're all into active learning, aren't we? You know, getting our students to play an active part in their education. So I think if a book can equip you with something, then it's what you do after that book ends. So it's like you take that knowledge and you take it into a context and you apply it and you work with it to see how you can get a different interpretation of the world. And I think that's what books are about as well, aren't they?
I absolutely love it. Well, thank you both so much for joining me on this. One last thing before I let you go. Obviously, the Link event has only just started. What are you looking forward to today?
I'm looking forward to meeting people for the first time because I'm a newbie here, although I've worked for the OU now for nearly 3 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not a newbie at all.
and finding out more about what all the other units across LDS do. This absolutely fantastic, buzzing environment here. Can't wait to go and look around all the stands. I wasn't quick enough to book onto one of the XR tours, so I'm
going to see
if I can see if there's any spaces free.
Sharpen
my elbows.
And how about yourself, Mark?
So I really just got here, and it's so bustling. It does feel like being on tour, doesn't it? So I think, like Eleanor, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. Eleanor, this is the first time I've ever met you, and I've worked with you for about 3 years,
it's great.
So meeting people I know and then people I don't know, and just hearing what people have to say is probably for me going to be the highlight.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And hearing what people have to say is my highlight as well, except for you mentioning bacon about 30 times at 10 in the morning, which has put a powerful thirst in me. And with that, we'll go to the next one. So thank you very much for listening. You can find all of our recordings from the event at pedagogzilla.com, and if you work at the OU, on the LDS Link intranet page. Thanks very much to Mark. Thank you very much to Eleanor. I've been Mike Collins, and it's goodbye from us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.